You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
So hello, it's lovely to be with you today. My name's Samantha Carr and I'm with Jess Contos.
Hello, Samantha.
Oh, it's good to see you, Jess. And you're, of course, listening to Just Women. Now, today we are taking part with a series of programmes about reinventing yourself at 50. And I have two super women to introduce to you today. I have Debbie Dee Campbell.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Lovely to see you. You're a fashion designer whose work blends bold vision with considered craftsmanship, redefining what it means to build a personal brand and creative identity in the fashion world. And I have here Sharon Goodenough, who's a British contemporary artist, celebrated for her luminous seascapes, expressive skies. Wow. Sounds wonderful.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's lovely to see both of you here today. Now, what we always like to do to start on Just Women is find out what you were doing before. So, Debbie, why don't we start with you?
Yeah. What I was doing before designing.
Yes.
So, prior to that, I had another boutique, where most of what I stocked at the time was just labels that I bought in. So they were premium brand labels from all over the world, most of them European. I used to go to Paris, to Copenhagen, to Milan to do the buying. And so I had those in the store and selling those to women in my local area. It was in the Wandsworth Common area, the Clapham, Abbeville Road area. And so I did that for 14 years whilst being a mum of two children, two sons.
My goodness, so you must have been very busy.
Off the scale busy, nuts busy. Good and busy though.
Good busy too. And so Sharon, what about you? What were you doing in your career beforehand?
So I started off in makeup and then I worked in financial services. So I did a complete turnaround. Then when I became mother full time, that was it. I just stopped everything. I worked here and there part time, again, sort of in the financial services sector. But it was part-time. My main focus was being a mum.
Yes, definitely. And that is, as we were saying with Debbie, is very, very busy. So, Debbie, what first drew you into fashion design?
I've always been into design. I think you're just constantly sort of accruing imagery and information as you go along. I think we're all creative anyway. I think we all have that creative element in us. Whether you sort of tap into it or not is another matter. But I think I always had that. I was always open to it. So your eyes, you're constantly feeding your brain this stuff. So I always knew that I wanted to be in a creative space. And I think we had a conversation before, which was, I'm a Londoner, the club scene was a big deal for me. Partying was just being sort of a teenager and going to the Wag Club and Crazy Larry's and the King's Road and all those old clubs was just a fantastic thing. And that was what it was always about for me. It was always about music. It was about clothes. It was about being as creative as you could possibly be. It was about walking up and down the King's Road with a Mohican, and just being free, just doing something that nobody else had. So that was my real sort of, I think, introduction into being creative.
Yeah. And we were talking, Sharon, you were mentioning about your previous career, obviously having children, etc. What Jess and I wanted to talk about today, and we have these series of programmes about it, is reinventing ourselves at 50. Mm. And why is this such a big thing? Because I know that most of my friends have definitely gone through this or are going through this process right now. It's fascinating, isn't it? And tell me about your reinvention.
Well, I think when you hit a rock bottom in your sort of mentality and the way that you feel, when you a lot of women go through a bad time during menopause. When you get low, there's only one way you can come back up. And I think when you strip everything away, having gone through that and doing the mindset shifts around the change that your body's having, you strip everything away and come back as renewed. And I think doing that and going through that process can be really, really tough. But at the other end, you get back in alignment with who you really are. And that's what really worked for me, is getting back into all the things. It was picking up the paintbrush for me, which was part of that healing journey. And I connected more to myself and have done since than I ever have in my whole, in any part of my life. So I think it's that complete stripping everything back and rewriting who you are.
Yeah, definitely. So you say you picked up the paintbrush. So did you paint as a child?
Yes, I was always doing something creative. So I was doing photography. I studied photography and art when I was at school. And then I went on, just before I had my son, I was doing an access to fine art. And I got offered a degree course through Birmingham University. And at that point, I'd had a difficult time trying to get pregnant. And when I finally found that I was pregnant through fertility treatment, then that was it. I was having my son full time. That was it. He came 2 months premature. So the whole thing was quite chaotic. But it made you really appreciate the fragility of life when you see your child trying to survive in a little plastic box. Oh. At the hospital. It changes. Mm-hmm. It changes you. And it's things like that I just couldn't get away from. So, yeah, you really understand that depth of what those things actually mean. And, yeah, so.
I was going to say, Sharon, that obviously I've spoken to you before because we had an interview a little way back. And what I found really interesting was that your background crossed paths a little bit with what I did in my background. And we were talking about the fact that times were very different then, and you weren't particularly comfortable or happy in the makeup industry and the shoots and all that kind of thing. How did that did that affect your sort of, not your mental health, but we had that discussion where you had got to a stage where you hadn't enjoyed that so much, you'd done something else, then you became a mum, then what happened? Did you suffer? Was it menopausal or was it?
Yeah, no, I didn't. From the days of doing the makeup, that was purely down to my own self-belief. That was a lack of belief, and that's always been there. I've had real imposter syndrome throughout my life up until probably the last 5 years. And that has been really, that's held me back in pretty much everything that I've wanted to do. And so for me, going through the menopause, and actually, you know, you can't get much worse than how you're feeling at times. You think, right, okay, now how do I rebuild this and go forward? Because I'm not prepared to be that person anymore. Yeah. I've shut too many doors, or, you know, said no to too many things. So slowly I started to overcome, did the work, did the mindset shifts, worked on my physical appearance with a mentor. And, you know, got strong on every aspect of my life. And that then bled out to everything, friendships, being a mum, being a wife. And actually, the artwork started to then come through me and came through really, really strong. And I built upon it in that way.
And Debbie, do you feel, because both of you are artists in your own right, you're fashion designing, and obviously you've also come from a similar background. It was a special time, wasn't it? The clubs you mentioned just now. Do you feel a similar sort of feeling that you came through?
I think there's definitely an element of, when you say imposter syndrome, I don't feel like imposter syndrome, maybe as I understand it, but I think you definitely, if you don't feel that you've come from a space that allows you to be here, you know what I mean? Do you have license to be here? And I think I always knew I was creative. I always knew I had an element of flair and I could do this thing, and my eyes, colours worked. I knew that. I always knew I could put clothes together. People always commented on how I dressed. But I didn't feel that I was allowed, I suppose, to some degree, you know, to be able to be a designer. And I think it's interesting because I think it's certainly maybe in the same thing in the art world, but certainly in the fashion world, it's very much, and especially maybe in the city, it's very much an area that's kind of templated for a certain type of person that comes from a certain type of background, that comes from a certain type of look. So it was definitely that. And I suppose I just didn't feel at that point in time that maybe I met that criteria. And the point is now that you get to this stage where it's just like, I don't have to fit into anyone's criteria. Yeah, I'm blazing your own path, and I will do my thing and go to blazes who doesn't like it, and that's it. So that's the beauty of it, and that's the empowerment of moving forward and getting older. And I think there is a beauty in that journey, because I think a lot of women go through that, still feel like that now, and never come out the other side.
Yeah.
Which I think is a shame.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, next question I wanted to ask you was, who do you design for?
Yeah, it's not so black and white like that, you know what I mean? It's not so one-dimensional. I think my job and my process is to be, and I should be able to take the personality of an individual and listen to their story and create a look for them. That's, I want to tell stories through clothes, through people. It's like some kind of psychic or channeling. That's so weird. You know, yeah, cup of tea, Rosie Lee, turn it over. What's in there? Yeah, I'll tell you your story. No, but I like the idea because I suppose in some way, I think that a lot of women are very frustrated, and I think a lot of women don't really tap into who they really are.
Yes.
And I think, and I love drawing that out of people. I love, overused word, buzzword, whatever, but that empowering.
Yes.
You know, I want to, sometimes you just want to shake people. It's like, come on, you know, come on. Yeah. Don't let them have you. You know what I mean?
Now, listen, Debbie, because as you know, we are doing three sections today with these two fantastic women. And at the end of the first section, Debbie, you're going to choose a song and you're going to tell us why you've chosen it. So what are you choosing?
So it's Grace Jones, it's My Jamaican Guy. For the actual tune of it itself, but I love Grace Jones. I think she is an incredible chameleon. I don't think there's anybody else out there that's, from a fashion perspective, from the way that she looks, from a creative, from an aesthetic perspective, for me, she's absolute trailblazer.
And she's got a good left hook, hasn't she?
Has she? Has she?
Famous, wasn't
for
it?
Russell Harty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she gave Russell Harty a slap. But I think she doesn't get enough kudos for her artistic integrity and the amount that she's invested in the art world from a creative perspective, from fashion, from clothes, from just her absolute daringness to push the boundaries.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I like that a lot. Mm.
Yes.
Well, I think that's a perfect end to our first section. And what a brilliant song choice. And that was Grace Jones and My Jamaican Guy. And we'll be back with you after the break.
Hi, it's Michaela Strachan with Samantha and Jess on Just Women.
Hi, I'm Michelle Ford, and guess what? Season 10 of Two Women Chatting has officially landed. I'm chatting with some absolute legends. Elizabeth Day, Jane Moore, Gabby Roslin, Donna Ashworth, and that's just for starters. Expect real talk, belly laughs, and a few oh wow, me too moments about life, midlife and everything in between. If you love great stories, smart conversations and a sprinkle of joy, hit follow on Two Women Chatting wherever you get your podcasts. Season 10 is here. Come join the chat.
Hi, this is Mary Hammond of Community Life Magazines. We are a proud partner of Brooklands Radio and the go-to magazines of Elmbridge and Runnymede. Our titles include Cabo Menetia Life, Weybridge and Brooklands Life, and Runnymede Life. We deliver 52,000 magazines through the doors of local residents, making it easy for them to find local news and events across North Surrey. We also organise a monthly artisan market in Churchill Car Park, Weybridge. If you're interested in working together through our markets or our local publications, then please get in touch. You can find us at community-life.co.uk or follow us on social media at CL Magazines.
As a business owner or manager, you know that in today's competitive world, attracting customers is the number one priority. An advertising campaign with Brooklands Radio can help you to stand out from the crowd, and we make it easy, affordable and fun. Brooklands Radio can support your business with an advertising campaign that gets your message out to the people that matter, your customers. Call us for a chat or email sales@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Brooklands Radio.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women. I'm here with Jess Contos. Hello, Jess.
Hello, Samantha.
And two fantastic women, and we're discussing reinventing ourselves at 50. We've got Dee Dee Campbell, fashion designer extraordinaire, and Sharon Goodenough, who is a British contemporary artist. So, who should I start with? Should I start with you, Sharon?
Okay.
what led you to the seascapes? And please describe, you know, some of your art.
Well, the seascapes, a lot of my paintings are multi-layered, so the canvases, I actually start with an intention first, so I write on the canvases. It could be lyrics to a song. It could be things I want to release and get rid of. But then I start to build up the painting. But the sea, for me, I mean, who doesn't like the sea? Whenever you're by the coast, your whole body changes, your blood rate changes, and we feel safe because we can see everything, and it's such a vast expanse. But when you look at the sea, the thing I like about it, because it's very like us, particularly women, it's very changeable.
That's so a very good line.
It can go from one extreme to another, and I think we all know what that's like. But it is so like us. We can go through, you know, it's indicative of life, stormy, calm, all those things. It's reflective and it's got depths. And so for me, the sea kind of conjures up everything, really. And I just love painting it. And while I'm painting it, because your mind doesn't know the difference between reality and imagination, my body feels like I'm there. So I've checked on my heart rate monitor and it actually reduces when I paint. So it's good for
goodness.
Your health as well.
God, that's fantastic,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It's interesting. And one of the books that I read that really helped me on my creative journey to reinvent myself was The Creative App by Rick Rubin, who was Def Jam Records. And in the book, one of the biggest thing that helped me was paint for yourself. And my husband had said it, but sorry, Justin, I didn't really listen. But I thought he was just being kind. But in the book, Rick Rubin says, you know, paint for yourself, because when you're doing something purely for you, that's when your work comes out, because it comes out through you. And since I've adopted that mindset, I don't worry about who's going to buy it, who's going to like it, where it's going to end up. When I'm in the moment and I'm present with the piece and I'm painting the sea, whichever way I want to do it, if it's moody or calm, that's what I'm doing in that moment. And then what happens to the piece after that is really none of my business. That's how I look at it, and it's so helpful, and it's a really lovely way to engage with it and then let it go.
And of course, as you say, there are so many different ways to paint it and different times of day.
Yes.
So sunset, sunrise. Yep.
And we're so lucky. I mean, every day, depending upon where you are, obviously, but we get those sunrises and then you get the sunsets, and it's, you know, the colours are incredible. We just went on a Mediterranean cruise and we got that twice a day. So over the sea, the reflection. So I've got a ton of reference images to be working on. But it's just, we're so lucky to get that, you know, to see that. It's just, you're in awe when you see those sunsets. And, you know, when I'm painting it and recreating it, I've got that feeling again. So it's, you know.
And can you get the same magical feeling from a photograph? I know you will have seen it, first of all, then you've photographed it. Or is the best feeling when you're actually literally at the seaside?
It's a bit of both. If I've taken the photo, then I'm back there. It's sometimes with a commission, if somebody's given me a photo of a place, it is more helpful if I've been there, because I can... relate to it more and I can visualise where everything is. But yeah, it definitely helps if I'm there.
Yeah. And what do you find most challenging about it?
I don't really find it challenging at all, because I just enjoy it so much. I used to find things challenging because I used to worry what other people would think. But since I've got rid of that fear, I just love every part of it. It's just all about growth and learning and trying different techniques and trying different ways, because it's just all there to grow.
So often we all discuss things amongst ourselves and amongst our friends, of saying something happens for a reason, for example. Lots of us would mention that, wouldn't we? Do you think if you had rediscovered your artistic side or your art 20 years ago, would it have gone this route, or did you need to get to this age, reinvention after 50, to actually make it work to this degree?
That's such a good question, because I felt deep down that, oh, I'd been held back from doing what I really wanted to do. And actually, when I go back to where I was in my 20s, in my 30s, I wasn't ready. And because I wasn't really fully being me, I was trying to conform. I was trying to be this and that, as you do when you're younger. So, no, I think now's the time. And, you know, I've got to this point. I'm so lucky. I skip down my garden every morning. I wake up excited because I have so many ideas. And I think when you're younger and you're more concerned about other people's perceptions, it wouldn't have worked. So now is the right time.
It is. It's so fascinating, this thinking about other people's perceptions. And Debbie, did you ever face that? I mean, now you are this fashion designer, designing clothes that you love for people, dressing women to make them feel fabulous about themselves.
Yeah. I think it's slightly different, in that I think you create a piece of artwork and you put it there, and then people come to it. So there's a different kind of space there. But for me, if I'm creating something for somebody, you've got to take in consideration who they are, how far you can go with them. Because there's no point, you know, you're going to, yes, I see you as looking like this, and then they take it, the run for the hills. You know, it's just, you've got to, you've got to meet it somewhere in the middle. And it's also, yeah, so in, to some degree, you've got to go on a journey with them. And there's more, so I have to envelop myself in who they are, where they are in their journey at this point in time, because that is really my job. It's my job is to provide something for them, you know. So I get that. I love that quote from Rick Rubin as well. And I think you should create for yourself. So when I'm doing sort of a collection, and I'm worried sometimes, I can go in that dichotomy, you know, is this commercial enough? Because you need to make money. You know, there's nobody, you know, you've got bills to pay too. There is definitely something in there you have to take into consideration. And it's all very well if you want to be some sort of, you know, wildly creative, but if no one's going to buy it, then what are you going to do, right? It's tricky. But you do still have to create for yourself. Otherwise, you will be left frustrated. And I think it's important as a creative that you exercise what's in your mind's eye. I think that you have to do that,
definitely. And when I think about your collection, which I've been lucky enough to see in your lovely boutique, I do always think about tailoring, which of course I'm very drawn to tailoring. And vibrant patterns as well.
I love pattern. I love colour. I love fabrics. Fabric design is a huge thing for me. Tailoring, just the sort of expertise of finishing a piece, is where it's at. It stands something so far apart from anything else, because the hardware, the zip detail, the pocket detail, the sleeve detail, all of these aspects are the things that make the item so very different from any other pedestrian or commercial piece that you're just going to find anywhere else. Yeah. So that's the point. I never set this business up to be the same. That's not never been the goal. The goal has always been to create individual pieces, and that's why you can call them pieces, because they're individual items, they're individual pieces that stand alone that won't you're not going to find anywhere else.
And Debbie, what would you say, because obviously what you've been talking about, reinventing yourself, you're a strong character, you're an artist in a fashion world.
Yeah.
What would you say to people that say, oh, it's too late for me to do that, or I can't face it?
Yeah, it's not. And I think, it sounds like a real soundbite in church. It's never too late. I know people say that all the time, but the point is, at the end of the day, is I really always go back to this thing. I think, as well as a mother, my sons need to see their mum doing the thing.
Yes.
You know, they need to see you doing it. It's all to speak it, but they need to see you doing it. They will choose women and never be afraid of that type of woman. They never, they'll always look at that woman and say, yeah, my mum always worked. My mum was always doing this. She made her own decisions. Da, 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 da. So that's important to me, that I set that example.
Yes.
And that they have that in their lives. And I think for women, I like all women, take control in every way of your own space. You still can be in your relationship, you can still be, but it's so important to own your own journey.
Yes, I agree with that. And how much influence, how important are contacts and influences from your younger, your younger days, how much has that shaped what's...
It's everything.
Yes.
Absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. I love, although I think my youth was a little bit rogue, a bit feral, quite frankly.
I like feral.
Be something I would create for my own children. They don't know the half of it. Nonetheless.
Don't say it now.
It's been incredibly formative.
Yes.
And it's given me the ingredient.
Yes. And so what's the kind of process for your designing? Does somebody come in and ask you to design something?
Well, we have different sides of it. So we have the ready-to-wear, which is in the shop, and then we also do commissions.
Yes.
I get excited by fabrics, so not totally dissimilar to our thing. I get excited by fabrics. I can go into a fabric shop, and that's me. I'm just gone. A child to the sweet shop, you know, whether it be silk, whether it be, satin, whether it be wool, whether it be whatever. You know, I just get so, so excited. So for me, it's about seeing a fabric and then what can I create with that fabric and how can I make that look, and then how can I make something like a coat or something, the utility, something that we all wear.
Yes.
But how can I make that different? And how can I make that piece exciting?
Yes.
You know, how can I make that woman want to go to that piece in her wardrobe and be excited about it, as opposed to, another label?
Yes.
So there's all those factors.
And Sharon, again, going back to your journey to get to being an artist after the age of 50, has your previous, like obviously the makeup artist, did that shape where you are now, or was it a sort of rebellion to go in the different direction? Because they, two very different worlds, being a makeup artist for artists.
I think everything that you do throughout your life has an impact on what you're doing now. I think, even working in financial services, I learned the marketing and sales, and that comes in very handy for what I'm doing now, particularly when I'm putting things out on Instagram, which I do regularly, but I love it, and I love all the messaging behind it and the storytelling, because it's not just a piece of art, there is a story behind all of these things. And so I think whatever you've done growing up, even as a kid, whatever you loved doing, which was art for me, but whatever it was, that's all built towards what you'll end up doing oh, hopefully what you end up doing.
So, Sharon, what is your song to end segment two and why did you choose it?
Right. Afraid to Feel, LF System. I would have gone for Elvis, actually, because I start a lot of my paintings off with an Elvis concert. But I thought, let's go for this one. This track just has so much energy. It's one I also use, as well as Elvis, for when I start a painting, getting the stuff straight back onto the canvas. When you hear it, I just love it. Glass of wine, jump up, that's it. It's a perfect song. Oh, you see the flames of burning passion.
So that was Afraid to Feel by LF System. And we'll be back after the break.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
Discover the magic of the earth at the London Gem Mineral Show, sponsored by Mayfair Gems.
Come and join us
on the 22nd and 23rd of November at Farnborough International Exhibition Centre. Explore unique minerals, sparkling gemstones and ancient fossils with dynamic workshops and inspirational speakers.
There's something for everyone, from collectors to families, with tickets from just £10.
Head to the Gem and Mineral Show UK.com.
Oh, what does this button do?
Warning. Warning.
Whoops, wrong button.
Warning, family fun detected.
Looking for an unforgettable family adventure? Step into another world, VR in Camberley. Battle robots, explore galaxies and celebrate like never before, all in virtual reality. Fun for ages 6 and up, it's the ultimate family adventure under one roof. Book your escape today at camberley.another-world.com. Where families step into the game.
Would you like to give something back but are short of time? Care in Weybridge volunteer drivers take people who can't drive themselves to medical and other essential appointments. Our volunteer drivers can take on as many trips as they wish without any minimum commitment. If you would like to volunteer or know someone who might, please visit our website at careinweybridge.org.uk. That's careinweybridge.org.uk for more information on how to be a volunteer driver in our community. Care in Weybridge, the flexible way to volunteer.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Samantha Carr, and Jess Contos.
Hello.
And we have two fabulous women with us today, and we're going into our third segment on our special programme, which is about reinventing ourselves after 50. I've got Dee Dee Campbell, who is the fashion designer, and I have Sharon Goodenough, who is the artist, the contemporary artist. So who wants to answer the next question first?
You can go first.
I've been selected.
So what's been your biggest design challenge? Would it be the design? Would it be the person doing it for?
Biggest design challenge. I tell you, it's interesting because I think I've got quite a lot of challenges. lots of things are challenges. I think you've got to also translate, because I don't stitch the clothes myself, so I have my seamstress. So it's translating to her exactly what you want. You've got to get that across, exactly how you want it cut, exactly how you want it finished, the draping of it. There's so many different aspects to it. So, you know, loads of things are challenges, really. It comes up a lot. But each one is a good challenge. It challenges me to communicate the best way I possibly can. I learn from every item we do. I learn more. I learn better about communication. I learn better about the draping. I learn better about the finishing. I learn more about everything. So each time we need to push ourselves further. So there isn't any one kind of piece that's a challenge. It's a constant, quite frankly.
Yes,
it's a constant, but in a good way.
In a good way. And so, is that how you would describe the process, or is the process often different?
Again, it depends on what we're making. I mean, we've just been doing some suiting. We just finished two suits for a gentleman, and that was interesting because he was very kind of open. So when you get a very closed brief, it's almost easier. So when he's very open and just leaves you to it, you're like, okay, I've got to take all of the pieces of the conversations that we've had, given the circumstances, given his body type, his size, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and put something together that hopefully he's going to love. Unfortunately, in this instance, he really, really did. So we met the brief well. It's all about challenging. It's all about challenging myself. It's about challenging us as a team, the tailor, the seamstress, the fabrics, everything. It's about making sure we constantly keep pushing the boundaries.
And do you ever reinvent your design taste?
I try to challenge myself so that I don't have a one-dimensional view. I think it's important that I constantly push myself and push the boundaries of what I think, because it's very easy to stay in a safe zone.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to say, that's my footprint, that's my template, that's, because it's not. We're so multidimensional. I love so many different things. So I like period costume. I like, you know, very modern, you know, Yohji Yamamoto. I mean, I like so many different types of things. So I've been fortunately had the opportunity to travel quite a lot. So you've seen loads of different styles, from a Japanese style to, I don't know, something from a sort of a Roman kind of look. So there's so many different things that you can do. So you've got to kind of, that's the point of it, is putting all of the little sort of micro nuanced things that you've come across into your creative process.
And do you have a favourite design, a favourite outfit that you've designed?
They're all my babies. They're all my babies. The ones that are the hardest that come out the best, I'm most proud of. The ones that I've challenged myself on the most, I'm most proud of. Because you can easily run away from something and say, you know what, let's not do that, let's do this. It's easy to do a shorter sleeve or a longer sleeve. Let's not do that, let's not do this color. But we don't, you know, let's lean into it and make it happen. Let's make it work. So those are the ones I feel most proud of.
And I'm sure as a client, it would be very wonderful to have something designed for you and to fit your own body.
Yeah.
That's a very special thing. Sharon, what about you and your process of when you start to paint, what happens?
Generally, I've got so many reference images, and I try to collect the ones that really speak to me the most. So I have, I've got about 30,000 reference photos on my phone. I try to get a collection together so that everything speaks to one another, because it just works better that way. And it's interesting because what Dee Dee was saying about when you're working with other people and challenges, because that is sometimes where the area of growth comes, when you get somebody that wants a commission and it often pushes you outside of your comfort, and you have to do a little bit more research and those kind of things. So that all comes into the process. But largely, my process is I photograph absolutely everything, and then I piece it together. Sometimes I'll edit it on Photoshop, and then until I'm happy with the overall look, and that's when I start to layer it down and get those first initial layers onto that song.
Onto that song, exactly. And you use oil mostly?
Yes. Sometimes, just to speed it up, I use acrylics, and particularly in the winter time when you can't, you know, you're sort of stuck in a studio, it can get quite toxic. So a lot of the time I try to use more acrylics during the winter months to just get that first initial layer down, and then I go into oils. But there's nothing quite like using oils when you've painted with different things, blending skies and seas and things with oil paint. It's like painting with butter. It's so nice. It's so nice, and it's free. It's just got that freedom to it, whereas a lot of the other stuff is bit stiff.
And how easy is it to start?
Very. I have so many ideas going on, it's actually hard to not have so many going on in one go. So this is why I've kind of worked into doing a collection, so that I work on, I mean, at the moment I've got 8 pieces in production going on at the moment in
My
process.
Goodness me.
Because they're oils, they take a while to dry, so I can work on the next one and then the next one, but there's something that's linking them all together. So it's very easy for me to start. I wake up excited every day to go and do something, but I'm trying to rush through sometimes, and I have to slow myself down because I'm wanting to get onto the next canvas. So it's more of a case of me. I never get the problem of looking at a blank canvas. I can't wait to get one. So.
Wow. And are they part of a collection, or are they?
They can be, but most of the time I put a collection together, and I've just gone on to just been represented by a new gallery in Marlow, Marlborough and Burford. So that they're very interested in my seascape, so that's a collection that will go that direction. And then I'm in another gallery in Sunning Hill near Ascot, and they tend to like a lot of local scenes. So it just depends on what they're looking for. But most galleries tend to like it if the work speaks to each other and you can see it's that artist or that artist.
So what we want to do now is give you some quick fire round questions. So I'm going to start with Debbie.
Let's go.
Debbie, if you could have anyone, celebrity or whatever, to represent your brand in a TV commercial, who would it be?
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones, fantastic. Sharon, a difficult one for you. You can have a dinner party. You can invite 6 people, dead or Ooh. Alive. Who would they be?
Elvis.
Yeah.
John Lennon. Rick Rubin. Johnny Cash. Oh, Dolly Parton.
Ooh.
I'm going very country, aren't I?
Very music.
Yeah,
very music. No dead artists?
No.
Is there one more?
Yeah. Well, I've actually just been to Dali's castle in Spain, so he would be interesting.
So, yes. That's it. And Debbie, yes. Who is your favourite fashion designer, again, dead or alive?
I think I've got quite a few. It's a tricky one. But I tell you who I love for loads of different reasons, for cut and for fabric combination, is Haida Ackermann.
I'm going to have to look that up. Okay, you're allowed 3. So give me 2
okay,
more.
Vivian Westwood, for just because she's UK, and you know, got to love Vivian without any shadow of a doubt. Zandra Rhodes, I loved as well because she was Philip Treacy. I love. I can go on for shoes. Manolo. I think
that's 5.
Kenzo, I mean, can go on and on. How long do you want?
And Sharon, same question to you. You can have 3 artists. Which are your favourite 3?
Oh
artists?
Gosh, you've asked me this before, haven't
have.
You? Yes, obviously. I know Frida Kahlo.
Yes, I love Frida.
Turner.
Yes.
Monet. I could keep going on.
Yeah, because like Debbie.
One of my favourite paintings is by John Singer Sargent, and it's, is it in the National Gallery? It's the light in
is it.
Is it
the kids? The children?
Yes.
Tiger, Lily Rose.
That's it.
Oh, I love that
it's
painting.
It's beautiful. The light. It's the way he's captured the light. So that's probably one of my favourite paintings.
Incredible.
It's a stunning piece, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? There's no sort of luminosity. It's just because all the colours are warm, but the lanterns are cold, aren't they?
Yeah, it's
so
stunning.
It looks alight.
Sharon, where do our listeners find you online?
Right, so Instagram is where I generally hang out. So Sharon Studio Art on Instagram, or my website, which is SHZ Studio Art. Couldn't get Sharon Studio Art for some reason. Or Facebook.
Fantastic. And Debbie, same question to you. Where can our listeners find your beautiful designs?
Yeah, or, well, come and see me. 427B Upper Richmond Road West in London. You can, yeah, you'll find me on DD Campbell 12 on Instagram, on Facebook. Our website's in process. It's constantly in process because we do such short runs and we're constantly updating it. So, but if you find me on the Instagram, then, or on TikTok, then we can, you can, I can redirect you to that. Well, come in is always a lovely thing.
Well, ladies, I think from Jess and I, thank you so much.
A pleasure.
Both of you for coming on Just Women today and taking part in this lovely series of programmes called Reinventing Yourselves After 50.
It's been brilliant.
And my word, you two really have.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic.
So I'm very delighted to thank all our guests today. And also a big thank you goes to our producer, Graham Laycock.
Just to say, we're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone you think should be on our show, please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and we'll get in touch with them.
So details of past and future guests are on our website, brooklandsradio.co.uk. And you can find us on Facebook too at /justwomen.br. Do follow us on Instagram at Just Women Brooklands Radio. You can also listen to the programme again on Monday evening at 7 p.m. and then also on our website. And don't forget to download the Brooklands Radio app on your phone and you can listen to us at any time. So thank you so much for being with us today. It's goodbye from me, Samantha Carr.
And me, Jess Contos.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.